The challenge with diseases like African swine fever is that the slow burn that they can have going through the pig population, where you know, poor biosecurity, pigs that are raised with no biosecurity, feeding of plate waste that may contain the virus, people just moving it on their clothing or tires or with carcasses. All those things can play a huge role in just maintaining that disease. But I think the one thing that really has been the outstanding component for, you know, why this disease is continuing to spread is its maintenance within the feral swine population or the wild pigs. Wild boar are huge, especially in some of these countries like Latvia and Lithuania, where the culture's built around hunting wild boar. And it seems once it gets into the wild boar, it maintains quite nicely and then gets back into the either backyards or sometimes the commercial herd. From the standpoint of any of the major trade-related diseases, so your African swine fever, classical swine fever, foot and mouth disease, you know, we're a world of international commerce of meat and meat products, and there's illegal movement of those products. There's legal movement of those type of products with mitigations to inactivate virus and to keep those diseases from getting into the country. But I think what we struggle with is that, if you end up with some type of a meat-containing or product that was moved into the United States, let's say illegally, and then fed to a pig here in the United States, you could easily transmit that virus. And so I think from the United States perspective, we're always at some risk. And part of that risk is due to, products that potentially getting in here and exposing pigs. We've been very lucky. We've never had African swine fever in the United States. As you mentioned, the closest was down in Haiti. I think there's a lot of important mitigations that occur at the federal level to try to make sure that, those type of products are interdicted before they get here or before they get it, or out into the countryside, as well as just keeping our trade, making sure that who we're trading with, following the rules and regulations. And so I think we've got good preventive measures in place at the border, but I think we still are at risk just because of the way things could potentially move, and if a pig gets a hold of it, that virus is going to transmit. Well, the first damage is loss of trade. Anytime you have a trade-limiting disease like foot and mouth, African swine fever, the minute that it's reported to the OIE, there's a very high probability that our trading partners will cut us off. We're exporting close to 27% of our pork right now. That would put 27% more pork back on the U.S. market and absolutely wreck the agricultural economy for the pork industry. Some work that was done at Iowa State by Dr. Dermot Hayes, a model that we funded at the National Pork Board, basically showed in that model they used African swine fever. And we're talking billions and billions of dollars of lost revenue just from one case being reported because we've lost trade. When you add in response costs, and what states would have to do that have the disease in order to contain that disease and potentially eradicate that disease. And there's some real challenges there too, because we don't have a vaccine for African swine fever like we do for foot and mouth and for classical swine fever. But when you start adding in the response costs and you start getting into humane euthanasia and you get into any disposal that you would need to occur, it just keep adding billions of dollars on top of it. And that would take an extremely hard hit on the agricultural economy across all species, really. And that's just because the agricultural economy and our small communities are so tied together. And so if one sector is hurting because of an issue, a disease issue, it usually ends up hurting others. We've got other data with foot and mouth disease that would demonstrate that with loss of trade of pork and loss of trade of beef, because FMD affects cattle and the trade that the milk industry has as well, we're looking at, $20 billion right off the top that first year. Wow. But you'd even see losses in the poultry industry, and not because FMD doesn't affect poultry, but if you put a lot of cheap pork on the U.S. market, we could outcompete the poultry industry on low prices. And so even those other industries, the corn industry, the soybean industry, that are high value industries to our industry because of the good quality feed that they provide, even they would see revenue losses because our herds would have to readjust to what the new normal was for trade, which, in the first couple of years might be zero. So how do you absorb 27% more of your pork in the United States if you can't export? So you'd have to eat your way through that and get back to an equilibrium to with what your exports and domestic production would be. We have quite a bit of exports and we're the lowest cost producer, but if you cut our ability to move pork, it can hurt us just economically in an instant. You know, I think the regionalization that's going on in the countries that do have it, so, you know, it doesn't affect trade with the entire country. You know, looking at the infrastructure that these countries have in order to do that, their data management systems, you know, their ability to have, you know, full knowledge over the where all their premises are and the number of animals and the movements and the testing. And, you know, those things are very impressive. And in the countries that don't have it, you know, they have a lot of the same capabilities as well in order to try to one, prevent it, and two, if it did get in, you know, a strong capability, I think, to respond. But what's really getting these countries is when it gets into those wild boar. And, you know, wild boar don't respect country lines. Wild boar, you know, while this particular strain of ASF is almost 100% fatal, you know, that virus maintains in the carcass and other pigs just come along, wild ones, and it can just maintain its way through. And a lot of the other challenges I think we talked a little bit about is just people illegally feeding plate waste that has virus in it, or has virus in a meat product. I mean, that's another way that it's getting in, and those are hard things to control. So you've got two groups that are working on protecting the borders. You've got USDA's Plant Protection Quarantine, and you've got Customs and Border Protection. And you know, these two organizations do a lot in ensuring that we have, you know, we're trading with the appropriate folks. People are following the rules. You know, we've got legal trade of pork and pork products. We're following the OIE regulations, you know, on what we can and can't trade depending on disease status. Being able to target travelers from countries that may or may not have certain diseases in order to make sure that if they're bringing product in that it's caught at the border. I mean, there's a lot of work going on at the national level to try to interdict that kind of stuff, and then also continue with trade and stop, you know, illegal products from coming in. In the U.S., the USDA has an African swine fever response plan. There's one for classical swine fever, and there's one for FMD. And we know who's in charge. So the federal and state animal health officials, if we got those diseases, would be in charge. And it's very stated pretty clearly in the plan what needs to happen. The first thing that would need to happen is whatever state would be affected with the disease, you'd have to set up a control area around the infected farm. And then the state animal health official would have to figure out who's in the control area. So you'd have to find all of your swine farms. You'd have to get information about the demographics, you know, how many animals they have, what type of farm that they are. You have to start working on surveillance to get a status. I mean, basically the state vet has to spend a lot of effort trying to understand if that disease outbreak is contained within the disease control area or if it's already moved on its way out to another state. That's why it's so important, and the pork industry has taken it to heart as well, because, you know, an ASF outbreak would really devastate us. Premises registration, just the simple, you know, getting with your state animal health official, registering premises for the national number. I mean, that's one way that we can aid preparedness in the United States, because the state vet then in their records knows where you are and who to talk to. But other things that we need to be able to provide that the state vet wants to know about our control area is, you know, one, who's in it, two, movements. The federal regulation or the federal book, the red book that we call it for African swine fever, we're talking 28 days trace back from the time you think it came into the farm. So you have to have your movement records to determine the risk of disease spread. And then status. You know, currently, nationally, we have a negative status for African swine fever. But the day that we get African swine fever, and those folks that fall in affected areas are going to have to demonstrate a negative status, which means surveillance and testing. So if we as an industry aren't prepared to help that process, it was going to make life a lot harder for the state veterinarians. And so we're focusing, the pork industry and the National Pork Board, focusing on building technologies and programs that allow, especially for business continuity, in areas where movements may be stopped because of a disease outbreak. If I, let's say I draw a 10 kilometer radius around a swine farm in Sioux County, Iowa, I'm gonna wrap up a lot of pork production sites that probably don't have the disease, and I'm gonna stop their movement. Well, I gotta be able to start that back up again because those folks will go out of business.
Right.
So we're focusing on business continuity with a secure pork supply plan, which is a set of program standards that would allow producers to develop the information and be able to share that type of information with their state animal health official in an emergency in order to facilitate the permitting of movements. As part of that, there's been a significant investment from the board of directors of Pork Checkoff in developing an actual database and dashboard that would allow that information to be delivered to the state vets in a way that's easy to understand to make decisions on movement. That system would also benefit just the general knowledge of what's going on in your disease control area, provided producers are participating in the programs. And so I think, you know, I stay awake at nights thinking about response. And I think we've got some tools. We need to build a better infrastructure to kind of take us to where we need to go for the way pork production is today. Last time we had a foreign animal disease in the United States was in the 1970s with classical swine fever, FMD in 1928. The pork industry is significantly different now. We're moving a million pigs a day across the country. So we have to have the tools and the technology to keep up with that in order to help, you know, the state federal animal health officials. We do need to build a stronger capacity in our preparedness side. We've put together some pretty good fact sheets, National Pork Board, on just things that producers could do today to prepare just for overall preparedness. We've also got education outreach on secure pork supply, which covers the business continuity, and then the database system and the dashboard system is kind of the icing on the cake. And so I think if we improve our tools, it just gets us to a better place. If we have it tomorrow, we can still respond. Again, the challenge with ASF is you have to rely solely on biosecurity because we do not have a vaccine. And it's gonna take a long time and a very long funded sustained effort, I think, to get into developing a commercial vaccine. But it's something that probably needs to happen.